You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
Interesting story that's out. They surveyed a whole bunch of people and they wanted to know how many people out there have pretended to enjoy a meal simply because they didn't want to hurt the other person's feelings.
Right.
And it turns out that it's the majority of us, 7 out of 10, raise their hands and say, well, yeah. I'm actually surprised it's not a little bit higher, because it doesn't have to be you gushing over something, but you probably might say, oh, yeah, this is good. Thank you.
While it's in your mouth, you're like, this is really good.
And then when they turn their back, you spit it into your napkin or something.
Right. You just swallow it with a chug of water.
I think we've all been there. It's funny, though, the longer you're in a relationship with someone or you know someone, the less likely you are to hide your true feelings about their food.
Yeah, you're like, enough's enough. No more of this garbage.
Like, I can't pinpoint any time that I've actually done that, but I think I can probably say that I've done it at, like, neighbors' houses, you know, where they have, like, a little neighborhood potluck going, which I hate. And, you know, they force you to try the buffalo chicken dip, and it doesn't taste like buffalo or chicken or dip at all, and you're like, won't be going back for seconds on this one. Mm-hmm. yeah. I like the stat in this this story, I guess we can call it, this morning, about people saying that food is essentially their love language, because we've talked so much about love language on this show.
Yeah.
Touch and gifts and, you know, acts of whatever, but no, food is on the list now.
Always talk about how the way to somebody's heart is through their stomach, so why not?
You should put that on a t-shirt, man. That's a pretty good saying.
It's old.
I love food is the only thing I think of.
Gretchen lured me in with her cooking. There's no doubt. That's what helped get me in the boat, as we like to say on this show. This is the cooking that she does. But and she's so damn good at it. But there are a handful of things that she makes that I'm like,
no good. Please don't make
Pasadena, man. Pasadena.
I feel like when we were hot and heavy into our little wine and cheese and meat night that we would occasionally have, you know, you'd put the kids to bed and we'd have our cheese and meat platter. That was a form of a love language right there, the charcuterie board that we had
going. Yeah, you guys used to do that every Friday night.
Kind of fizzled out, didn't it?
I take it you don't do it anymore.
No, we don't. We pretty much just collapse into bed because we're tired and knick-knack. Works a lot of hours and I'm up early, so we're like, want to watch a movie? Nah, pass. No,
it was good while it lasted. That's nice.
Hey, I think I know the answer to this. Speaking of knickknacks, she is this person where she takes food to, like, people's houses. Do you guys do that? To, like, if, you know, recently we had a friend who had knee surgery and she brought over, like, a bunch of food. Like, she's the food giver.
You bring a dish.
Again, I think that probably falls into some sort of love language. But yeah, she brings food to people. She'll bring food to neighbors. She'll bake loaves of bread and give it to the neighbors. And I'm just not that person because of my food sensitivities to eating things from other people's kitchens. I don't like to push that stuff on other people, but she's big into dropping food off for people. And they seem to enjoy it, I guess.
I guess it depends on the food.
Well, it depends on the family. We have this one family that we affectionately call the Dirty Family, and they bring us food occasionally, and we don't eat it. Yeah. I mean, the gesture is nice, but we've been in their house, and it's like, I don't think I'm going to eat these cookies today. And I feel bad.
You're very picky about that stuff, though. You would never eat anything that our live audiences brought in either.
You don't know what they're bringing in. No,
oh my God,
to complete strangers coming in from who knows where and who knows what their kitchen looks like.
Somehow, I am still alive.
I will always maintain that someday something's going to hit you.
Someday.
And they're going to track it back to an audience, a listener cookie or something.
There's... we don't take food to people now. I guess we have. Normally, it would have been some sort of baking. Yeah. I'm not one for making a casserole and taking it. What about that weird tradition when somebody passes?
Yeah,
and then
sure.
The family receives like 10,000 things of food. They can never eat enough. I mean, I understand.
It's the comfort.
The gesture behind it, and it is sweet and nice. I'm not knocking it. I'm saying... you can never eat all the food that's delivered. And isn't it interesting that that is how we show empathy with people who are grief-stricken is to bring them
food. It's very unique,
food,
isn't it? They're like, I'm sorry that your father passed of a heart attack, but here, eat this tater tot casserole covered in ranch dressing so you can join him soon.
Exactly. I can only speak, you know, when I've lost both of my parents, and I know when they both passed, I don't think I even ate anything for a couple of days. I had like zero appetite. So, and I'm wondering how many other people are in that same boat. It's like you're going through a lot of mourning and grief. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I ever thought about doing was eating. And yet people are bringing all this food
what
over. And you're like,
great weight loss plan, huh? Why hasn't somebody written the death diet?
Weight loss.
It's the death diet. What?
Probably somebody
What's your
has
secret?
Written a book.
Well, my parents died.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure somebody has written on that, but
that's horrible.
It's true.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting tradition about bringing food for something like that. Now, we had some neighbors move in, and, you know, as you know, we're not real tight with all the neighbors in our neighborhood. In fact, we are the outcasts in the neighborhood. But we toyed with the idea of taking over some sort of, I don't know, some of Gretchen's baking. You know those oatmeal chocolate chip cookies that she makes that are just to die for.
All right.
And we thought about making those and taking them over. But I don't know. In a way, it seems like a dated tradition, too, like something out of the 1950s or the 1960s.
Yeah, that's
Hi,
all right.
Neighbor. Here, so you just moved in. Here's some cookies. I don't know.
There's something charming about it. Yeah. I mean, we do that. We bake all the Christmas cookies every year. Nicole and the kids bake all the Christmas cookies every year and pass them out to the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, still a thing, I guess, in our hood.
Yeah, but
there's something charming about that.
Yes, yeah, so but let's face it, you live in like a Stepford neighborhood. It's like the Stepford Wives
type
straight of thing.
Up suburbia, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't, but I don't know. We ended up not doing
Maybe
it.
Maybe you do, you're just not included.
That's right, because, well, wait a minute.
Which you are not included.
Now that you mention it, I showed you that photo of the neighborhood gathering.
There was like 50 people there.
Yeah, at least 50 people, and we don't remember seeing an invitation to it. I told you we're the outcasts of the neighborhood.
I'm so surprised by this.
Hey, I'm a friendly guy, too. It's just I don't like to cater to suburbia tradition on everything. It makes me roll my eyes.
Okay.
It just does. And so that's probably why we're not accepted. And yet, Gretchen teaches all of their kids piano lessons. They love that.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be me.
It's you, buddy.